Good morning. How's everybody this morning? Oh my goodness, every year I think, what if nobody shows up? And look at this room, this is amazing. I'm so happy that you are here this morning. And I've asked our pastor, Brother Greg Warnock, if he would come and welcome all of you to our church and open our year in a word of prayer. So Brother Greg, you come and do that.
Thank you, Teresa. How many first-timers do we have today? This is your very first time. Raise your hand. Look at here. Let's welcome our first-timers. We are always excited when the new fall schedule comes in, and Wednesday night, and this place fills up, and there's children and young people everywhere, and then Thursday morning ladies' Bible study. And it is an exciting day for us on staff to see all the people coming. I was talking to our dear director, executive treasurer, Dr. Sean Parker, and I was sitting listening to him share, and he said a quote that I have not forgotten. He said, "If you please God, nothing else really matters. If you displease God, nothing else really matters. What matters is, do you please God?" This great study of the great book of Hebrews, you're going to find out the one thing that really matters that you must have in order to please God. And then you're going to learn so much about Jesus. What a great study. Let me pray a blessing for you. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the encouragement that we feel in this room as we come to study your word, to be people who are approved by you and please you. Father, I pray your blessings on Teresa, her leaders in this ministry. Father, use her again to be a vessel, a spokesperson for your truth and your word. God, bless each one that has come. We've all come with our needs today in our family. And we cast these cares at your feet. We know you care about us. Speak, Lord, and we will follow. In Christ's name, amen. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Greg. And I'm just so excited that our sweet friend, Angela Smith, is here this morning. And just didn't know if you'd be here or not, Angela. She recently lost her husband. She wants me, so many of you have ministered to her, and she, I'm going to read this little note she's written to our Bible study. She said, "Love, prayers, and blessings to Teresa and Bible study friends. Thank you all so very much for all your acts of love and generosity. Truly a blessing from the Lord. Food, cards, flowers, calls, texts, gift certificates, and most of all, your prayers of love for me and my family. Please keep praying. This is a difficult journey to travel. Praise God we don't travel it alone. 50-year anniversary, Friday the 8th of September. So blessed to have had a godly husband and friend. Jesus' friends are a gift from God. Amen. Loving Christ, Angela, Carrie, and Fly, and Cole, and Fly." So just, Angela, we just love you. We're going to all hug you to pieces, so get ready. We're so glad you're here. Well, are you ready to jump in this morning? I'm going to move this chair. I need accessories here. I'm going to use this in a minute, so I'm just going to sit it right here. Well, good morning, and you, as you came in this morning, if you're new, I want each of you to fill out one of these. I'm going to have a break in a minute. If you did not fill one out, you can get one over at our book card table. And that's just going to give me information about you and also give you an opportunity to pick a small group to be in. So that is coming up in a minute. It always feels so good to me to get back to the fall and to structure. I love summer, but I do better in structure, don't you? And so it always feels really good. I feel like our Thursday morning Bible study really starts out so well every year because we're ready. We're just ready to get back into structures. And as I begin each year, I always like to share just a little bit about my own story with my group, because I'm really the most unlikely person to be leading a woman's Bible study. I want to share a little bit about my testimony. Everybody has a God story, and I want to share a little of mine. Bill and I married right after my freshman year of college, and he was older than I was. He was coming out of college, had gotten a full-time job, and we were so in love. And so, you know, marriage was just, oh, of course, the answer, right? And as I came to marriage, I was extremely unprepared for marriage. I didn't have a lot of tools in the toolbox to help me succeed. One thing about my life growing up, I never had really observed a godly marriage up close and personal. My own parents' marriage ended in divorce, and that was mainly due to the fact that my father had an addiction to alcohol. I guess you could say I was one of those people who, you know, I was really nice and I was really sweet and I was really cute and all that good stuff, but I had issues. Did any of you have issues? I had lots of issues. And so I was just hoping as we got married that that was just going to be the answer to my issues and we would just live happily ever after. Now, I really didn't have a plan exactly how that was going to work out. I just had high hopes. And so we married. We lived in a small town in Mississippi, and we began our married life together, and we went to church every week. And we got involved in church. And it was a very enriching experience for us as newlyweds. There were lots of people surrounding us, and I joined Miss Beryl Harper's Sunday school class. Now, Miss Beryl Harper was just a beautiful, godly, older Christian woman. She was a retired school teacher, and could she ever teach the Bible? Every week as I sat under her teaching, the Word of God just began to wash over me, and it started to take root in my heart. And I just love that about God's Word. You see, God's Word is different than any other book you'll ever study or read. It's alive, it's active, it's very, very powerful. And that's why I'm so glad you're here this morning. You're so wise to put yourself in a position to get into the powerful, living Word of God. That was my first experience to really hear the Word of God. I wasn't a Christian. Now, wait. I thought I was, but I really wasn't. I thought I was because I lived in the South. And especially during the early 70s, if you lived in the South, well, everyone believed in God, right? And I certainly believed in God. Didn't that mean I was a Christian? I mean, I believed in Jesus. I knew several of the Bible stories. But I didn't understand at that time that I was really far away from God. I was desperately needy spiritually. And so week after week, as I continued sitting in that environment of hearing God's Word from Miss Beryl Harper and hearing God's Word from the pulpit in our church, and then one night as I was sitting in a revival service in that church. Now, many of you older ladies remember when all of our churches used to have revival services. Do y'all remember that? Sometimes that lasts a week, and look, sometimes that even lasts 2 weeks. And that night, as I was sitting there in that revival service, I was hearing a very simple, clear, very powerful presentation of the gospel. And that night, sitting there, God opened my eyes. He showed me that I really was a sinner, that the truth was I was not saved. I was not a Christian. The truth was I was separated from God, and I was needy, and I was in a very desperate situation. I needed rescuing. And so that night, very simply, as that evangelist was preaching in this revival service, I invited the Lord Jesus Christ to take the driver's seat of my life. And that night, I was saved. That night, I can say it a lot of different ways. I was born again. It was a miracle. Salvation is such a miracle. It's hard for me to describe. But the Bible says that when you are saved, old things pass away and new things come. And that was the beginning of my journey of walking with the Lord. And I began to experience His transforming presence. He began changing me from the inside out. And it was exciting. Now that was 50 years ago. So you see, I need to begin this morning by telling you I really have no credentials to present to you. I'm not even from a godly home or a godly background. I'm just from a very ungodly home. But see, this is the grace of God. And I just love being the daughter of the King. And I've never been more excited about teaching the Word of God than I am this very morning. And I'm so thankful that you have come to be a part. Our very first Thursday morning Bible study began the fall of 1989, and that was 34 years ago. I've been doing this for 34 years. I was a young girl then. I was just 34 years old. And, I mean, I didn't know anything about anything, really. And so we jumped right into Bible study, and back during that beginning of that, we were all big K. Arthur wannabes. And Kay Arthur is the founder of Precept Ministries, and she was the Bible teacher during those days. And she had these Bible studies called Precept Upon Precept. And I mean, it took you 5 hours a week to do her homework, but we were gung-ho, and we didn't even do her little in-and-out pitiful study. No, no, no. We were all in, and we did the Precept Upon Precept. So this morning, we're jumping in. We're jumping into Hebrews. Now, Hebrews is one of the very first books I taught way back then in the Dark Ages. I didn't know what I was doing. I have no idea what I said, but I can tell you Hebrews is a very deep book, and I've always wanted to visit it again now that I have more Bible study tools than I did back then. So I'm so glad we're going to take it together. Now, I have a handout for you, and we're just going to go over a few things together. You know me very much. You know I love handouts. And so find your first handout there, and we're going to start this morning by looking at Matthew 28. This is the Great Commission. This is a great place for us to start this morning because we want to get stirred up about studying the Word of God together. And so let's read it together. And Jesus came up to them. Now, who are the them there? Well, the disciples. He comes up to the disciples. What is a disciple? I'm a disciple. You're a disciple. You know what a disciple is? A disciple is just a learner. A learner. A disciple is a student. So if I'm going to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, I've got to learn of Him. I've got to study Him. And so He comes up to His disciples and spoke to them, saying, now listen, these are the last words He gives before He ascends into heaven. He says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. How much authority? All. Say it with me. All. Now, because I've been given all authority, Jesus says, therefore, there's something you need to do because of who I am and my authority. Therefore, what am I to do? Well, I'm to go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And this is the part I really want you to see this morning. I'm to go, but look, I'm also to do something else, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. Ladies, He's still with us. He's still with us. We're in 2023. He's going to be with us all the way to the end of the age. We're to be going. We're to be baptizing. But notice, we're to be teaching all that He commanded us. Now, this command comes all the way down to us, and listen to me, if I'm to go out with the gospel, And if I'm going to teach others to observe everything he has commanded, that means I'm going to have to learn the curriculum. Amen? I got to know what to teach. That means I'm going to have to get in God's Word myself. This is a mandate to us. This just isn't to those who are the paid professionals. This is to all disciples. We're going to have to be active learners. Now let's write this on our handout. This means that the teacher and the student are going to partner together. That's what you and I are going to do. It's a process that we're going to do on Thursday mornings. Active learning is where you are asked to do some work. It's going to require you to enter into the learning process. And the bottom line is this, and I want you to write it down. You will be asked to do homework. How about that? Write that on your handout. Are you kidding me, Teresa? Where am I going to find time to do homework? I am so busy. Well, duh, you're the generation that does the whole 30. Where do you find time to do that? You're the generation that has a wonderful commitment to working out. Some of you, I'm not included. But you run marathons. Wow. You do all kinds of crazy things. You do hard things. You're disciplined. You're committed in the things that are important to you. Is that not true? That is true. And I'm not going to apologize this morning one little bit for asking you to give time to learning the Bible together with me. And that is because it is our greatest need, ladies. We cannot prosper spiritually apart from the planting of God's living word in our hearts. And I'm going to say discipleship really matters. It really does. It's worth the investment of our time because disciples are formed one way alone, and that is knowing the Word of God. There is no shortcut. Now, I just love our Bible study. I think our women's Bible study is solid gold. Here we are. Just look around this room. All ages, sitting together, all kinds of different life experiences. We all have different spiritual giftings, and all of us are at different places in our spiritual walk. Some of you are brand new to Bible study. Some of you have been at it for many, many years. But the truth is, we all have room to grow, don't we? Do you always feel like, oh, I should know my Bible better? Don't you feel like that? I mean, I'm going to feel like that until the day I die. Now, I want to tell you a little bit about the author of our study. You've gotten your book. Her name is Jen Wilkin. I was able to hear Jen speak at a conference down in New Orleans at the seminary there about 3 years ago. And I was just blown away with her. I just fell in love with her. She is from a little community close to Dallas, Texas, called Flower Mound, Texas. That sounds like a fun place, doesn't it? She's 54 years old. She's the mother of 5 children. And in my mind, she's a little K Arthur, which makes me so attracted to her. She's passionate about Bible literacy. And she has dedicated herself to the cause of helping others articulate and be committed followers of Christ with a clear understanding of what they believe and why they believe it. So as we begin our study today, I want us to begin by just going over a few basic rules from how she's put our study together. So get your book out, and we're going to be opening up in a minute. But first, on your handout, I want you to write this down. Because there are many ways we take in the Bible. Reading the Bible is one way. Just reading your Bible every day. That is so, so important. And so write this on your handout. Reading gives us breadth. It's wide. And then there is another way, and it's studying. And studying gives us depth. And that's what we're going to be getting on Thursday morning. And so the best way, I believe, to study your Bible is to take your Word of God, book by book, chapter by chapter, and verse by verse, and study it and go in depth. Study it in context. They're both beneficial, reading and studying, but studying is foundational. Look at 2 Timothy 2:15. That's a command given to each one of us through the Apostle Paul. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, I know you feel like I do. I don't want to stand before God ashamed. I want to be a workman that can rightly divide the word of God, don't you? So we're workmen. And you know what a worker man do? Worker man work, don't they? That is, we're going to be doing this study and we're going to be doing work together. We're going to be encouraging each other. We're going to learn together. And it's going to be so much fun, I promise you. Now, I personally find Bible study to be absolutely thrilling. I'm kind of nerdy like that. Sometimes as I'm getting ready and I'm studying, because I'm always studying, I feel as if I'm just going to pop. I get so full of the Word of God. It's so absolutely delicious to me. Now let's begin with an obvious thought. Write this on your handout. The Bible is a book primarily about God. Isn't that a really outstanding statement? But often, think about it, we slip into a pattern of when we get into the Word of God, it's as though first and foremost we think, well, this is a book about us. Well, it is a book about us. But that is only secondary. First of all, it's a book about God. The Bible is telling us who He is so that we can understand ourselves in light of the revelation of who He is. Now, to help us develop this skill each week as we go through the homework, Jen is going to have us ask ourselves, as you're reading and studying, a question. Now, turn to page 28. In your workbook, and I want to show you and point it out to you so you will not be scared of this question. You have to think, ladies. Don't be scared to think. She calls this the wrap-up, and she's going to do it every week. And she puts this down and read it together with me here, and it's the last thing in your lesson. She says, knowing that God is blank. So as you're doing your lesson each week, you're going to be asking yourself, what am I learning about God? What is this portion of Scripture showing me about God? And then you fill in the blank with something that you have seen to be true about God, about His character, about His attributes in that particular lesson. So knowing that God is blank, and then she adds this, shows me that I am blank. And then you fill in that question with how you see yourself in light of the truth that you've seen about God. And then she adds this question, what one step can you take this week to better live in the light of that truth? She wants to train us as we come to the Word of God to ask ourselves, what does this say about God? Now, we're going to be studying Hebrews. Hebrews is a book all about Jesus. Who is who? God. So we might want to tweak our lesson a little bit and say it this way. What am I learning in this lesson about Jesus? Because you're going to be seeing how He is better. He is far more superior to anybody and everybody. Now turn in the back of your book to page 190 and 191. She's going to help us a little bit because she already knows you're going to say, I don't get it, I don't understand. And there is the list of the attributes of God. It's a very limited list, but it's you know, if we're going to put the whole list down, it would fill up books and books and books. But this will help you to get thinking for this question. So, every week, that's it. Now, here's Jen's philosophy in Bible study. She pictures effective Bible study as being a three-legged stool. Here's leg number one. Leg number one, most important, is your homework. please do your homework. Her questions are designed to be somewhat repetitive, and she's doing that on purpose because repetition is the mother of learning. She's going to get you to look up some definitions of words in a dictionary or a thesaurus. She says, write those definitions out. And then she may say, take that definition and drop it into the verse where the word occurred and rewrite that verse in your own words. That's called paraphrase. Don't let it scare you. When it comes to studying the Bible, people often think that, look at me. God's going to be so proud of me. I'm setting this time apart, and easy peasy, I'm going to get those answers. They're going to pop right up. Just because I've been faithful to sit there. You know, those answers, they should just be obvious, right? Well, studying is just like any other discipline. It's going to require you to really, really take time and think. She's designed the questions to move us through three stages. Let's write them down. First of all, we're going to go through what she calls comprehension. And this is just where I'm looking at the text and I'm asking myself this question. What does it say? I'm just going to read it. I'm going to say, now what is this saying? And then the next step is interpretation. As I read that and I'm saying, what does it say? Then I'm going to ask this question. What does it mean? And then application. What should I do with what I have seen? So as you're going to be taking your workbook and you're sitting down with the Word of God, she is going to ask us to slow down. Let these three steps play out as you do your homework. Take a long-term approach to the way you think about the Bible. And there may be weeks when you're done and you feel like I didn't get any of these answers right. And I am not going to make an A. And you know, if you're a type A personality, you want that A, right? Allow yourself to make a D, okay? I want you to practice dwelling in what she calls the I don't know. If you are in that place where you're just like, I just don't have a clue what I'm going to write down here. And I'm like that so many times when I study God's Word. And I want to tell you something, ladies. In the book of Hebrews, there are going to be a lot of things you don't know. So get ready. It's a very deep book. So here's what she's going to ask you to do when you're sitting in the I don't know in your homework. She wants you to wait. Don't run to your phone and Google it, okay? Don't do that. Don't run to your study Bible where there are all these little notes and things at the bottom and you're going to read, oh yeah, now I get it. Don't do that. Don't go to any other source. Don't go to a podcast. Don't go to a commentary. Allow for that bad feeling of I don't know to be in your stomach. Even if you think I've got to be the dumbest person in my small group. I know I am. What are they going to think about me? Don't be too quick to remove that feeling. Sometimes she may ask, what do you think the writer in Hebrews means here in this verse? Well, guess what she wants you to write there? Guess what? She wants you to write, what do you think the writer means in this verse? Not run to the commentary and say, what did the commentary think? What does my friend think? No, what do you think? Take time and ask yourself, what do I think? You may not know what you think, and then put down there, I'm not sure what I think. Sometimes I don't think. Are you like that? Now, the second leg, by the way, she's going to ask us to get markers. See, I told you, she's like, hey, Arthur. Turn in your book, back of your book, to page 188, I believe it is. Oh, no, I'm sorry, 167. She has printed out our text for us to write on with our pens. Now, we are used to having observation worksheets, She's going to use the version ESV. Some of our ladies don't like that version as well as they like other versions. And so I have printed out observation worksheets for you. If you would rather have these to work with, and then you just put them in a little notebook. And every week I'm going to be giving out a handout with our lesson. You can put your handouts in a notebook. So that's just an option. Either you can use the printed out ESV version in the back. She really doesn't want you to use a study Bible because you're so tempted to read what they say. She's struggling on your own with the scripture because you will learn that way. So that's a suggestion. I did about 90 of these. If that's not enough, if everybody wants these, I can make some more during our break. They're on the back table right against that wall. But what she wants you to do, and sometimes your Bible doesn't give you enough room to really get messy. She's going to have you read and mark words and do all kinds of things. And so get you some pens and get ready. Here's leg number two of our stool of learning. It's called the small group discussion. We have 10 small groups to choose from in our Bible study. These groups meet for about 40 minutes to discuss each week's homework, and we meet right at 9 o'clock, and we just spread out all over our church in different places. And let me introduce you to our small group leaders. Carrie Soans, here's Carrie, wave, and then Brittany Soans, where's Britt? There's Brittany. Leah Stewart's right up there. Mignon McKinnon, there's Mignon. Velma Estes is over here. Gloria Callums is over here. Carolyn Hennington is not here today. She'll be here next week. Nancy Hoover, where's Nancy? There's Nancy. Renee Hudson, right there. And Debbie Smith is over here. Did I miss anybody? Small groups are a time when we get together, we discuss, we go over our answers with each other. And it's a time where you're not going to agree with everybody. You might have got something different. It's just a time where you're going to say, well, now this is kind of what I saw. And somebody's going to say, well, no, I thought this. And it's just, we're just getting our ideas out. We're fleshing it out together. You're just going to read what you wrote. That's why you got to do your homework. And Jen says, this time is jokingly called the pooling of ignorance. But it's such an important time in the learning process where we're verbalizing. There are no bad answers. You're not going to be graded. There will not be a test. It's just a chance for us to hash out and handle the Word of God together. We're going to hear what each other came up with. So she wants us to first let comprehension, interpretation, and application take place first before we go to any other source. You're going to be gaining confidence as you're working with the text. You're building skills. Then, as we meet in our small groups are a safe place. We're co-learners together. In order to keep our discussion on track, we aren't going to be chasing rabbits. We're going to stay right with our questions. We're not going to go into these long, extended prayer times because this is a time for handling the Word of God. And each group has a way that they handle their prayer requests very, very efficiently. Our focus is going to be on our homework. Now, this is where the money is, our small group. Don't miss the small group. And let me tell you, you will be expected to contribute to the discussion. Don't worry. You're not going to be called on, but I want you to come ready to share. Your small group leader is not a teacher. She's not the one to be speaking. You are the one to be speaking. She's just a facilitator. And she's just going to ask you to share out of your workbook what you've written down. And if you're new to Bible study, it may seem hard at first, but I promise you, You will become skilled and it will get easier. Maybe you've never paraphrased a verse before. Oh my goodness, what if mine is bad? Just give yourself permission to be a beginner. Every pianist started with chopsticks, right? Over time, you get better. You will grow proficient. So do your homework and come prepared. And then the third leg of the stool is our teaching time, which I will be leading each week. And hopefully during this time, we're going to be filling in all the gaps. We're going to be answering all the questions that were raised during your small group and your homework time. And it's going to bring clarity. Now, I'm going to discipline myself to do my part. Will you do the same thing? Another thing Jen asked us to do is this. She wants you to spend time reading and rereading the whole book. It's only 13 short chapters. And a good way to do this is just to listen to it as you're driving. Bible apps, you can just click on listen and it will be read to you. So do your homework and read through the book several times and then make a commitment to be here on Thursday mornings. Now let's go over just a few housekeeping details and then we're going to take a quick break and come back and I'm going to introduce the book of Hebrews to you this morning. So get out your next handout. See, I told you I loved handouts. That says, welcome to Thursday morning Bible study. And let's just go over a few housekeeping details for our study. Look, let's just walk through this. This is a 10-week study. It begins today. It's going to end right before Thanksgiving on November 9th. Number two, we're so happy. It's such a joy that we can offer a nursery to our young moms. It's just absolutely critical. So feel free to invite young moms who have children. Yes, come. We've got wonderful workers and a nursery provided. And then the Senior Citizen Center, which is right to my right, your left, has asked us, please don't park in our parking lot during Thursday morning Bible study because they have things planned and we don't want to fill up their parking lot. So you can park all around the church, and there are two elevators in our church to bring you up to our level. Number four, each week we are going to take up an offering in our small groups, and I've got, there are a few tables that don't have a plate because I brought some, but I forgot to put them out. Duh. But find a plate somewhere. This offering goes to pay for our coffee, our water that our church provides, and also helps pay for our nursery. And then number seven each week, number five. I'm getting ahead of myself. I ask you to please put your cell phones on silent during Bible study, if you will, and then, or put them on vibrate if you're expecting a call. Number six, personal prayer requests will be handled by your small groups each week. And number seven, a coffee bar is going to be provided for your enjoyment before your small group and before my time. And then there's something, number eight, I really want you to understand. And that's this. We do have an enemy who does not want us in Bible study. And I can promise you that you will be challenged in this Bible study. I had one lady come up to me one time. She said, I'm just going to have to quit. She said, God must not want me in your class, Teresa. Everything is preventing me from coming. And I told her, I said, one thing you can be sure of is God wants you in his word. Recognize the enemy when he comes to you and he whispers, you're just too busy. You can do it next time. You can do whatever the reason is. Resist him and come anyway. I can promise you that the fellowship and the teaching are going to be pure gold for you in your life. You'll be glad you came. Number nine, guard your Thursday mornings. So when you go to make your appointments for your hair and your nails and your doctor and all your things, you say this, I can come any morning except for Thursday morning. Because if you don't say that, they're going to schedule every appointment for you on Thursday morning. I can promise. So just on the front end, say I can come anytime but Thursday morning. Number 10, if you do have to miss, you can listen online. Not as good as being here in person. You just, Sandra records me, and you can go to bragging post, and there's instructions on how to get to, that's just an audio, or you can go to our church's website, and I put on there how you can access that. And it's also going to be live streamed each week on our church's website. Number 11, pray for me, and I promise to pray for you. Everything we do should be bathed in prayer. And we're asking God, God, these are desperate days that we're living in. God, take your word. Equip us to stand in this ungodly generation that we find ourselves living in. Move mightily in our lives. Equip us. And then number 12, always begin your study in prayer. Try to be on time. We're going to begin our small groups right at 9. Just go directly to your small group. If you don't know where your small group meets next week, just come here and we'll take you. And then our lecture will begin at 10 and then we'll be done at 11. What if I'm late for some crazy reason? Just come on anyway, slip into your small group, slip into the lecture. Next week we're going to begin meeting in our small groups, and they'll start right at 9. Now we're going to take a brief break, go to the potty, get another cup of coffee and a cookie and a candy, and come back, and then I want to introduce you to our study, and I want you to meet three people you don't know during this time. Introduce yourself, and then we'll get started in 15 minutes. So take a quick break.